On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the upcoming football game against Auburn, give updates to men's and women's basketball, as well as other South Carolina athletics, and end things with my six-pack of picks. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 20 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope this podcast, I hope it finds y'all in a great mood. Should be listening to it on a Friday. Fri-yay. It's just great, great times. We have the sports rolling. I'm just in a great mood, y'all. Just having a great day. I don't know what to say. But to set the stage for you real quick, to give you a visual representation of this podcast, going to bring in the visual element into this auditory episode, if that's the right word. But basically, the big light in my area where I record, it blew out just before recording this, and it's dark as hell now because it's stupid daylight savings time. And so I'm recording this episode with just a small, like, bedside size lamp and my computer screen. So I really feel like an old school DJ who would like take calls like late at night, like, this is Tim Cox podcasting from the dark. Welcome to Gamecox After Dark. Oh, I'm just going to leave that there. But just to set the stage for y'all, that's what we're doing with. It's grinding. Just so much grit. But all right, here. So before we dive into things, I want to do a quick week in review from Gamecock Athletics. Something I missed on Sunday's show, but it's still relevant. Women's soccer, they won their tournament game against UNC. Now they're moving on to the next round. They're going to take on Hofstra. The tournament now moves to LA, I guess. They all flew out there. Good luck, ladies. Stick it to Hofstra. I don't know what Hofstra's logo mascot is. The Lions? Who knows? But stick it to them. Let's go, Cox. Also, if you can even begin to wrap your head around this, but baseball released their schedule. So that's exciting. SEC baseball is always competitive, and I do believe we play Texas again, but I could be wrong there. Didn't have a great chance to dive into it, but yeah, baseball season is out. Okay, now men's basketball. So they beat Western Kentucky on Sunday, 75-64. Freshman Devin Carter, that kid, he really led the way. Him and Cousinard, I believe they both had 16 points, but Carter came off the bench, provided that spark, and also 8 rebounds. So it was kind of the Devin Carter coming out party. Hopefully he can be a staple coming off the bench to perform well for Frank Martin and team. And right now, as I'm recording, I record the Friday shows on Thursday evening, the Gamecocks are playing UAB. So hopefully they come out on top. I did check. They were up by about 10 points. So fingers crossed. They were underdogs at home at Colonial Life, so hopefully they can come out on top. From what I understand, UAB is a pretty good team in their own right. They are trying to get to the tournament, so that could be a sneaky good win for Frank. So let's go, boys. But on the subject of basketball, we have to talk about our lovely Lady Gamecocks winning their home opener against Clemson, just beating the crap out of that team from the upstate, 76-45. Look, I was confident regardless, but there was no way in hell they were about to drop that game. It was the banner ceremony for the Final Four appearance, and that makes 11 straight victories over Clemson. Suck on that, you stupid Taters, you stupid Tigers. 11 straight. Meet me at half court at Colonial Life if you got something to say. Meet me there. My girl Destiny Henderson leading the team with 16 points. A lot of 16 points performances for the Gamecocks here. She had 6 points or six assists, 16 points, and 5 rebounds. So early on this season, the backcourt for the Gamecocks, led by Cook and Destiny Henderson, really, really a force to be reckoned with. And their next game, I'm so jealous. They are in the Bahamas. They're at a little tournament in the Bahamas. I don't know what it's called, but they're going to play either Oregon or Oklahoma on Sunday. And then I think they have another game on Tuesday or Wednesday that wraps up that little set there. So I'm very jealous. I wish I was in the Bahamas with sand between my toes and not cold, dark New York City. It just is what it is, I guess. But do have unfortunate news. Raven Jackson, she's done for the year. She got hurt. Best wishes to her. We were hoping that she would be a nice addition to this team. But hey, get well and come back next year stronger than ever, Raven. So now shifting gears to the focus of the episode, football news and notes here. The Clemson game was announced for a 7:30 p.m. kickoff, so night game in Willie B for the Palmetto Bowl. And the football gods, they are doing all they can. At least I think this is what they're doing, or they're very cruel. But they are doing all they can do to help the Gamecocks in these final two games. Back-to-back night games, at home, trying to get to a bowl game, and trying to end the streak against Clemson. So, like, if there are stars to be aligned, the football gods are doing that. I hope. So, 7:30 kickoff, great way to cap off Thanksgiving weekend and the regular season. It's kind of sad. Clayton White, he was nominated for the Broyles Award for the best assistant in college football. And I know there's a lot of guys that get nominated for that, but really awesome to see him at least get nominated, get recognized. The job he has done for that defense for South Carolina, cannot be understated. It cannot be stated enough, rather, that his job was just remarkable. They were a thin bunch. They were banged up last year. He did more with less than I think any of us could have hoped. Yeah, a couple bad games here and there, but for the most part, they have been an incredible bunch. So I hope he wins. Injury-wise, didn't see any updates. I'm assuming it's just status quo. There's a couple guys who are out for the year. Wanham, Dickerson, Jalen Brooks. He's still MIA. So hopefully there's no other crazy updates between now and Saturday. And something I did want to touch on, I'm going to say it this once. You can also look at my Instagram. I touched on it, but then we're dropping it. The Virginia Tech job, it opened, and as soon as they let go of Fuente, people were thinking, oh my God, they're going to take our boy, they're going to come after Beamer. I understand that the Beamer name is synonymous with Virginia Tech football. No disrespect to Hokies, no disrespect to Blacksburg, I'm sure it's a lovely town. You don't hold a candle to the SEC, right? Shane Beamer came as close to a flat-out no as I've ever heard a coach deny interest in another job. He said, you didn't just put welcome home on the side of Williams-Brice for no reason. This is home. He loves the state. His family, his wife, and his kids, they want to live in Columbia. They want him to be the coach at USC. And I think he himself wants to make a name for himself. So that's it. Our boy's not leaving. Any rumors, just be quiet. Be quiet. But all right, let's get down to business, people. The Auburn game this Saturday, I'm going to do a little preview for you guys like I like to do. So the Gamecocks, they know what is at stake for these last two games. Obviously, we're talking bowl eligibility, okay? And last two games at home, at night, like, don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, like, there is still a chance to end with a winning record in the regular season, which would be just a phenomenal feat in year one, but bowl eligible has to be the goal, right? Now, last week, Mizzou game, it was probably pretty humbling for everybody in the program. Coaches, players, equipment managers. So the question now is, can you understand the expectations, right? Don't go in there thinking you're going to roll. Can you embrace these expectations, and can you raise up your game? Because this game, it has a little bit of everything when you really think about it. It's a night game. That bowl berth is on the line. It's a super rare matchup in the sense that you're playing the same team in the same stadium as the previous year. Normally these things rotate. Weird scheduling last year because of COVID, so super rare. And then, of course, snake in the grass, Mike Bobo, he's coming back to town. And let me tell you something. Do not burn the Gamecocks, because the Carolina faithful never forgive, and they certainly don't forget. Obviously, Bobo accepted the job from Beamer to be our OC, to be retained, and then as soon as Auburn comes calling, he dips and left us in the wind, and basically thank you for Marcus Satterfield. Not thank you. That's an ironic thank you, people. So a little bit of a revenge factor, at least from the fan standpoint. I'm sure Beamer was pretty ticked off about that. He kind of said, alluded to that in his press conference about it when that happened. So Mike Bobo's back in town. I wonder if there's any revenge factor on his mind, too. Whatever goes on in his brain. But all right, so what is South Carolina looking at with Auburn? They are 6-4. They are 3-3 in the SEC. Their new coach, Brian Harsin, comes from Boise State. And it kind of does feel like he's brought an edge to the team compared to years past. Felt like under Malzahn, they would try to just kind of outsmart you. For some reason, this feels like he has brought a more physical nature to them, a little more of an edge. So I think he has done a pretty good job in his first year down at Auburn. And they've had some big wins. I mean, they beat Arkansas, I believe, and they beat Ole Miss. But they've also had some really bad losses, especially this last weekend with a huge blown lead to Mississippi State. And then, obviously, I mean, next week across the country is Rivalry Week. Rivalry Week, whatever. Screw that. So could they be looking ahead to the Iron Bowl? Maybe, right? Coming off a bad loss, you got to get on the road, get on a plane. Maybe they're just like, all right, like Auburn's around the corner. But the big story is Bo Nix and his broken ankle. So Bo Nix obviously is their starting quarterback, and their backup, who is starting for the rest of the year, is none other than TJ Finley. So trigger warning, Gamecock fans, you can pause, you can skip, because anybody who remembers the LSU game from last year knows that it was a very similar situation where their starter goes down, Finley comes in, and he absolutely torched us. It was his first start ever in college, and you would have thought the guy was a four-year starter. He's more of a pro style than Nix. Nix is a scrambler, kind of helter-skelter type, and he's big for a quarterback. Beamer compared him to Jamarcus Russell. I'm hoping we get the Oakland Raider version of Jamarcus Russell Saturday, but Jamarcus Russell size nonetheless. And it just kind of feels like whenever the Gamecocks face a quarterback, it's always like high alert for us fans, just because we've seen this narrative before where a backup comes in and has just had their way with us. But hopefully, between the tape from LSU, you can have an idea for his skill set. And he did have a little bit of playing time this year for Auburn. So hopefully there is a little bit more tape and we can be a little bit more prepared. But more on that in a second, because Crows to the Game. If you are a new listener, I don't do keys to the game. We have our Rooster, Crow, and Williams-Brice. So I have my Crows to the Game. So overall, Crow for the team, this is a no-brainer, but just elevate our game. Right? It's the final two games. If you can get the job done against Auburn, then everyone can breathe a little easier and you can set yourself up for an even better showdown next week. So got to put all your chips in the center, elevate your game. Two games left. Let's go. Now on the defensive side of the ball, my first crow to the game is do whatever you can to slow down Tank Bigsby. And it's funny because that's basically what I said for last week against Mizzou with Beatty. But it's true. Like, we know Bobo loves to establish the run. We saw that firsthand. And you would expect them to lean on Bigsby, especially without their starting quarterback playing. So you have to do whatever you can to slow him down. He's one of the most explosive running backs in all of college football. They're going to want to go through him. At least that's what I would expect. So that means the D-line needs to find a way to step up in a big way. Stopping the run has been a struggle at times, but in other times, like Florida, we saw they were able to step up. So I'm looking at guys like Zach Pickens and Jabari Ellis to be the upperclassmen leaders that they are and elevate their game and slow down Tank. You're probably not going to stop him, but just slow him down. Now, my second card of the game is don't let TJ Finley get comfortable. That's not groundbreaking. It's not a crazy take. But we have seen firsthand what this kid can do when he has time in the pocket. If you'll remember, it was his first start, and for some reason, we were just dropping back and not putting any pressure on him, and he was able to pick us apart. So similar to the D-line needing to step up to stop the run, the entire front seven needs to come out hot, and Clayton White needs to dial up some unique looks, try to confuse Finley, try to get him out of the pocket, or better yet, on the ground. And hopefully we can make him make a couple silly mistakes. Now on offense, my first crow to the game, lean on our playmakers. we've seen good things happen when Zee White and Josh Van touch the ball. So, look, with two games left, you're a team that's fighting for a bowl game. Now is not the time to get cute with rotations and try to be fancy. Lean on your proven playmakers. Make sure the X-Factor is like Jaheim Bell, maybe EJ Jenkins. Make sure they get action too. But keep it simple and feed the proven guys who have shown you what they can do when they get the ball. My second quote of the game, work better with Jason Brown's skill set. Auburn pass rush, look, they're not great. So hopefully JB will have time, but you got to stick to formations that he's comfortable with. It felt like we went away from that against Mizzou. So I'm talking mostly working out of the shotgun, one tight end, one running back. If you can spread the field out, though, a little bit, you can put these Auburn corners on islands, and Auburn has been susceptible to chunk plays through the air. They don't have, like, great D-backs, I don't believe. So if we can get them on corners, or excuse me, get the corners on islands, then hopefully we can make some big plays happen. And my third crow to the game is just play with urgency for four quarters. I feel like I've had this crow several times for different games, but we've seen South Carolina sleepwalk at times and then snap out of it late in the game and have a mad rush and give you hope. But against a team that's as talented as Auburn, you just can't afford to do that. They're just up and down their roster. They have talent at just about every position. So overall for the game, look, South Carolina certainly faces a tough challenge with this one. And while I'm hopeful that Auburn is coming in dejected after last week's bad loss and some bad injuries, maybe they are looking ahead to next week a little bit. Hope is not a strategy. And Auburn is too loaded on both sides of the ball to lean on that hope. So the big question is, which South Carolina team shows up? I mean, we've seen moments and we've seen games where both sides of the ball are clicking and the team looks pretty good. And then we've also seen moments in games where the opposite is true and they do not look good at all. But if the Gamecocks can come out with urgency and execute well and really avoid those dumb mistakes, maybe we can hang with these guys, especially you're in Willie B. The crowd is going to be rocking. I've seen more and more people say they're going than really any other game this year. So who knows? But we're going to need our playmakers on both sides of the ball to step up and rise to the challenge and lead this team to make sure we don't get in our own way. And if Auburn comes out hot, we have to be able to regroup, shake it off, and answer. So at the end of the day, if South Carolina can play disciplined for four quarters, we might be able to find ourselves within striking distance come late in the game. And if we do, I'll give us as good a chance as any in that situation, but we have to get there first. And we get there by executing well and putting ourselves in that position by not getting in our own way. So we'll see. But it's a huge matchup, and I expect Willie B to be rocking. And hey, look, we've seen crazier things happen, and we've beaten this team before. That doesn't really translate year over year, but I have faith, and we got to have faith. We got to make something happen. This team knows what they have to do to end this season on a high note. Zach Pickens talked about it in their press conference. Kevin Harris talked about it in his press conference. They know what's at stake. But the question is, can you put that aside and step up? So let's see. Let's go, Cox. Speaking of stepping up game, I got to step my game up with my six-pack of picks. I've had a horrendous 2 weeks. Horrendous. No excuse. I effed up. I got to be better. Jim Calhoun. So, look, six-pack of picks. We do one from each Power 5 conference and then one game from the Group of 5, and that makes up the six-pack. So, ACC, Syracuse versus NC State. Give me NC State minus 11.5. That game's at 4. Big 10, Michigan State, they're getting 19 points versus Ohio State. That game's at noon. Yes, Ohio State has been rolling. Yes, Michigan State had a really bad loss. 19 points feels like a lot. These teams tend to play each other close. I'm going with Sparty getting the points there. Big 12, I don't love this one, but we're going Texas versus West Virginia over 56.5. Texas is just a crap show right now. I don't know anything about West Virginia, but both teams seem to be able to score points, so we're going over. And it's just more fun. That game's at noon. And Pac-12, another crapshoot here. Oregon plus 3 versus Utah. Was kind of surprised to see Oregon getting the points here. This seems like a game where Oregon could trip up, though. They're going to Utah at night at 7:30 Eastern. But that just feels like it's a close game, and 3 points could at least get you the cover. SEC, this is kind of the SEC sacrificial lamb week, where most teams play a dud game before their big rivalry game. So couldn't get a lot of lines on a lot, but wanted to go with Arkansas versus Alabama under 58. That game's at 3:30. Feel like it's going to be competitive. Bama obviously has a really good defense, so they could keep Arkansas out of the end zone. And I think Arkansas is going to prove a little bit more of a challenge than obviously what Alabama had last week. And for Group of Five, going back to an old foe of ours, ECU. ECU versus Navy, over 46.5. Sneakily, Navy can score some points when you look at who they've played. And then ECU, they've been able to do the same. So I think 46.5 is low enough where I'm going to go over on that. That game's at 3:30. And with that, that concludes today's episode. I really appreciate all y'all listening. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, and Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And again, if you are listening on any platform and you can leave a review, please do so. I appreciate seeing them. And if you're on Apple, 5 stars. I really appreciate it. Hey, let's root them in. Down to the home stretch here. Let's go, boys. Let's go, Cox.